This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. On the road, the big news everywhere has to be the news of the death of Queen Elizabeth, the longest monarch to hold that position as the Queen of England. She met every U.S. president since Truman. Think about that. So lots of reaction to the Queen's death. A lot of, certainly in England, people are, you know, dead at 96, and now the reality of Charles becoming king. There's much reaction, however, not just there, I think across the world, because she was such an iconic figure, let's face it, and tearful crowds are gathering to remember the longest, like I said, serving monarch. She died apparently peacefully at Balmoral Castle in Scotland, and it's kind of interesting because if you think last week I was talking about the new prime minister and the meeting the prime minister had with Queen Elizabeth II. So she looked by all appearances fine, but her doctors said that she was going downhill, nothing specific, but 70 years of being queen, 70 years of being queen. And now it is King Charles III who steps in, and it's been a long wait, certainly for him to inherit that. Now he has it, and that will be the after effects of what happens in the death of the Queen. So in other words, the ceremonial parts of it, her burial, her funeral, the dignitaries, I'm sure, that will go to England for that. And of course, then the conversation about who's who in the British royal family line. If you look at who is in the line of succession, what comes up next? Well, Charles, obviously, now. And if you go beyond that, then you've got Prince William, who would then take the throne from Charles, in Charles's death. And it's interesting to look at the family chart. That's one of the first things I thought about, the royal family tree. We talk so much about our roots, and I was looking at who pops up. And of course, Prince Harry, he's not at the top of that list. He's fifth in line at this point. So he's fifth in line for the throne. His brother, like I mentioned, would be next. But first, it's King Charles III to step into that spot. And that's obviously part of the story that's obviously going to come officially. He officially has it, but it'll become more official, I guess is the best way to say that, once everything is dealt with as far as all of the ceremonial aspects of burying Queen Elizabeth II. But it is a piece of history. There's no question about that. The buzz in my backyard and your backyard is always has to do with the weather. We're always talking about the weather. I say this every single show: weather, politics, inflation. And we're getting to that point where, of course, we're getting closer to the midterm election, so you're probably starting to see a lot of political ads that are popping up all over the place on the tube. I noticed a lot of them in traveling in Pennsylvania and New York and, of course, in Florida. But these are interesting times, and pay attention to some of the messaging in watching what some of the politicians are saying. Remember, you have a vote and a say in who represents you. Seriously, the more people that do that, the more you may be satisfied with who that person is. Nobody wants to hear the word hurricane and a hurricane hitting the mainland. A hurricane just made landfall in Mexico and is triggering a bunch of flood concerns in parts of Southern California. For those of you listening in California, and there are a lot of you, I know you are concerned about the heat, but now Hurricane K has officially made landfall, like I said, in Mexico along the west coast of the central Baja California Peninsula. That happened late on Thursday afternoon. So then that's what kicks in next is the flood concerns. Hurricane conditions were impacting the peninsula and were expected to last a bunch of hours as the storm moves along the coast. So heavy rains will absolutely drench Southern California on Friday, and that brings potentially several months to a year's worth of rain to what has become now a pretty arid landscape. But then the storm will move north, and it'll provide at least a little relief from what California is dealing with as far as the heat wave. And so that part of it is good, not the flooding part. Having flooding there is not good. And then, of course, flooding is also possible on Friday in parts of southwest Arizona, according to what I've been seeing from the Hurricane Center. So K is forecast to track parallel to the Baja California Peninsula through Friday. That means a lot of that moisture will break out in Southern California and in Arizona. Be careful of the winds, because you could get some wind gusts that are 60 miles an hour or more, but it's that yin-yang thing. The good part of what it'll bring and the horrific part of what that hurricane, you know, trails along behind it and what could happen to some of these areas and what they're already dealing with. Steve Bannon surrendered, you remember that name, 6 counts, including money laundering, conspiracy, and scheming. He was pardoned in the past, but he won't be pardoned certainly by this administration. So he was paraded through the New York court system in cuffs. And he's expected to be released on no cash bail and surrendered his passport. He was arraigned on Thursday, and he pled not guilty. So he's a former White House strategist, and he was escorted to that New York courtroom in handcuffs, like I said. And so a lot of people thought that that was a whole parading thing. And he was a close Donald Trump aide, and he faces charges for his role in the group that raised $15 million to build a wall along the southern border and allegedly pocketed about $1 million of it, $1 million of that money. Where Bannon ends up, what happens, we don't know. But 6 counts is a lot. The money laundering, the conspiracy, and everything else that goes along with that. He should be, I would say, concerned. Let's put it that way. He should be absolutely concerned. All right, and finishing up as we kick things off here, we've been talking about the Ukraine, and it is on many of your minds, and many of you are so generous and have given, you know, money and time and whatever else you can to the situation in the Ukraine. Well, the latest is from the United Nations. The U.S. said it has evidence that hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian citizens have been interrogated, detained, forcibly deported to Russia in a series of horrific, horrible events that have been overseen by officials from Russia's presidency. So is this shocking? No. Is it good to have that information out there? Absolutely, yes. Russia says the allegations are fantasy. They say it's the latest invention in a Western disinformation campaign. Wow. On that note, hang with us.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Check Luza joins us now. He's written a book called Heiress of Angels, and we had such an interesting conversation off the air. I've spent time in L.A., and he spent a lot of time in L.A. It's a collection of poetry and prose. Ratto, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I got nothing else to do on this Thursday in a nursing home, so I might as well be with you.
Well, we're happy to have you. Tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, it's a tribute to Los Angeles, nothing more, nothing less, but it also talks a lot about love and metaphysics and philosophy and romance and politics. There's some sports thrown in, and in the middle of the book, there's about 15 to 20 poems that talk about what it's like to be lonely and homeless, which I was when I first got here to Los Angeles, and I think the poems are so heartbreaking and immensely raw and naked that they rip your soul and your gut out, and you want to read it just for those 15 or 20 poems. And the fact is, it's a tribute to Los Angeles. It's, you know, it's a great town. It's a beautiful city, but if you're not careful, it can really, really hurt you as well. There's ups and there's downs like any place else, but you have to be careful to kind of find the middle ground, the balance, to kind of find your own chi, so to speak, your own karma, and not go too far into any extreme.
Yeah, and so what brought you to Los Angeles those many years ago, and what happened that you had to pull yourself up from a situation that you were in where you found yourself homeless?
Well, I came to Los Angeles in 2006, which is 15 years ago exactly, 15 years, mainly to pursue the acting in the industry, because I'm a SAG-AFTRA, Actors Equity, a union actor, and I was in New York, I was in the New York area living in Jersey City, but I had an awful divorce with my ex-wife, and her name is Monica, but anyway, I won't give out her last name, and it, I was heartbroken and I was lonely and I was living here and I just ran out of money. I only brought a certain amount of money out here and I ran out of it because I was staying in motels and hotels and having to pay for food. And so I ended up living in Skid Row at the shelters there. And that was quite bad. But the people there, especially the African-American people, they got me through. They always say, white boy, you're going to make it. White boy, you're going to get through. And I believed them, and I did get through. And my dad helped me out. And it was really an unwelcome situation, but it was also welcome because I got to see the underbelly, so to speak, of Los Angeles. And that's a lot of what I write about, is the underbelly of Los Angeles. It's a tribute to Los Angeles, but in a sort of a way that I write about the underbelly and the shortcomings of the city, as well as the positive points and the triumphs of the town.
Yeah, you write about Hollywood. You talk about, like, as you said, LAX. One of your poems, LAX Baggage Claim.
Boy, yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah,
yeah, I've had experiences there, so I laughed out loud thinking that how many times I went through LAX. And it's interesting. You talk about Santa Monica. You talk about you know, music, and you talk about Red Velvet. It's interesting too, because we talked off the air and you mentioned comedy and you mentioned, you know, what it was like to race to a comedy club. So you certainly had some high moments too, where you had some successes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there was some successes. I did a lot of, not a lot, but a few gigs or sets over at the Comedy Store. But I can't say I'm very fond of the club. They seem very interested more in making money than in talent. But anyway, that was a success, and I've published now about 13 or 14 books here of poetry. That's been really good. I've had a chance to do that. I've got two books coming out, in the next, this year. Onyx Rose is a collection of poetry and prose published by Christian Faith Publishing in Meadville, Pennsylvania. That's coming out this year. And Copper Carnation, a collection of poetry published by Author House. That's coming out this year. They're in Bloomington, Indiana. I also started with a friend of mine, Marianita Mann. I started a reading, a poetry reading about 10 years ago called Unbuckled NoHo, in other words, North Hollywood poetry. And that's been a real success. We've had a lot of really talented LA and other people come through there, feature and do the open mic, and it's been a real success. And really talented and gifted and interesting and just interested people in poetry and in the verse and in the written word and the spoken word come through there and make a name for themselves and just make us fall to the ground like a leaf listening to their words.
And so with all the things that you've written and now the success of the poetry that you started in North Hollywood, the fact that you give people the opportunity there, what do you hope people take away from reading Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose?
That they're touched and moved by it to make a better life for themselves, that to become, I don't want to say better people, but more rounded people, more balanced people, people that are more in touch with themselves and society and civilization and God, and who put a hand out to other people, help other people in need, who love other people, who understand what the meaning of love is, that to me love is God and God is love, that they'll read the book and they'll fly to L.A. and they won't look at it as a superficial, materialistic town, but some place where they can find themselves and some place where they can learn to find their core and their middle and their soul and their heart and their very being and never ever look back.
I like that thought. So in the end, you know, we started with you moving to L.A. and what that was like and people helping you. Was it worth it for you to move to L.A.?
Yeah, because I've been through so much trouble just to stay here that I think God must have it in his crossword puzzle for me to stay here and for me to live here, because it took so much effort out of me just to stay here that those first few weeks, that I think there must be some reason that it took that kind of effort and struggle and challenge, and that is that I think I'm supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to be living here, and I'm supposed to be giving here, and I'm supposed to be sharing here, and I'm supposed to be looking around for my next result and challenge and creative effort.
Yeah, I like that. Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. Radomir Wojciech Luza, thank you so much for joining us. You can get the book on Amazon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. You're a delight, and I hope your audience got something out of this, besides being woken up early on a Thursday morning. And I really want to thank you very much for this. God bless you, and I hope you we get to meet sometime and we get to chat. And thank you very much. You're very delightful and very nice lady.
Thank you, Rado. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, how interesting talking to Rado. He's got his finger on the pulse, I think, of really what it's like to move to L.A., that whole idea of the dreams of getting there from other parts of the country and the draws. He was talking about what people don't know about L.A., but the draw of the entertainment business and how tough it really is to make it. And a lot of his poetry focuses on that, and he talked about leaving the East Coast, and he's got a poem called I Left My Heart in New York City, and I'm Not Sure I'll Get It Back. And that's something to read, that and Hollywood Holla and Hollywood in general. And he really, again, nails what it's like to make that kind of a move and then to be there and feel what it's like to live in a city like Los Angeles. And it's a great read. And if you are a fan of poetry, he absolutely, absolutely has the gift. So once again, you can get his book, Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thanks for listening to this interview, and thanks for listening to the show. Make it count, everybody.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Egypt's health authorities have detected the country's first case of monkeypox in a 42-year-old man who frequently travels to Europe. Authorities said the man is stable and has been isolated at a special hospital. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 56,000 cases have been detected in 102 countries around the globe so far. A shooting at Uvalde Memorial Park has left two people injured. This is according to the Uvalde Police Department. Both victims were hospitalized. The extent of their injuries were not immediately clear. Officers were searching for at least one juvenile suspect in connection with the shooting. This incident comes just 3 months after a mass shooter killed 19 children and two teachers at Robb Elementary School.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You've even seen on the news. How are they able to do that but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCN Tax Company. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Estate planning. This next guest is going to blow your mind, seriously. I've talked to her a couple of times off the air, and she's our guest in Author's Corner. She's written a book called 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning. And the second I got off the phone with her, this is behind the scenes, I ran to look at what have I planned and where are the holes. So you want to get a pen and paper, and then you want to get Elaine's book. Elaine, thank you so much for popping on the show.
Thank you, and good morning to you, Kate.
So 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning. I mean, I know this is the area that you practice in, but what made you decide, you know what, I got to put this together? Is it because a lot of us just don't know what estate planning is and we have a bias kind of in our mind as to what we think it is?
Well, the reason why I wrote the book, Kate, is because I have been practicing as an estate planning attorney for, at that time, 25 years. It's now been 27 years. And through the course of that duration, I've had multiple clients give me every excuse you can imagine to explain why they can't do it right now, they need to do it later, so on and so forth. Essentially, the three biggest excuses I've ever gotten were, number one being, I can't afford it, which is obviously not true, and I'll explain in a minute. And I don't have an estate, which is also not true, and I'm not old enough. So those are some of the reasons, and if you'd like, I'd be happy to go into that.
Yeah, so how old do you have to be to do estate planning, and why do you have to do it at that age?
Well, the misconception is that we need to be older in order to do an estate plan, and that, in fact, isn't true. I've written my book to impress upon everybody who is unaware that basically, after the age of 18, you need some sort of an estate plan. And those three components that you need are basically a will, that says I give everything to mom or dad or brother and sister or your friend or whomever, and a health care directive and a financial directive. And the reason I say that is because if you are 18 years old or older and you become incapacitated, mom and dad can't make decisions for you. Your friends can't make decisions for you because you're an adult. So if you lose capacity, the next place you have to go in order to have somebody be able to help you is the probate court.
Yeah, so it's interesting because the other part of, and on your book you have this as part of the title, the subtitle, the 50 excuses not, and that's in parentheses, to do bulletproof estate planning, excuses that just might cost you everything. And there you're saying that it just could cost you everything, right?
And that's exactly true. And that's another big misconception about estate planning. A lot of people think that they don't have an estate, therefore they don't need to do estate planning. But the one bigger reason why I wrote my book based upon a situation I had with a former client is that we need to have an estate plan put together well in advance when we have capacity. And the reason we need to do that is so that if at some point down the road your capacity begins to wane or somebody has a question about your capacity, they can't petition the probate court to then get in control of you in the form of the conservatorship. So, for example, they could say, hey, you know, I think Kate's not thinking clearly anymore. And if Kate doesn't have an estate plan, then they could petition the court and they could be successful to impress upon the court that you need assistance, and then the court can award them to get in control of you. When somebody becomes your conservator, then they can make your decisions for health care, they can make your decisions for finances, and they can even tell you when and where you can sit. And the biggest thing that blows my mind is they can also get authority to rewrite or create an estate plan for you that may not even be what you would wanted it to have said. So having an estate plan really is your biggest protection from having an unwanted conservatorship, and that's something that most people have no clue about.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I have to ask you this question because you're so schooled in this and have had such a great career. You mentioned that all the years of doing it for 27 years. What was the craziest experience you had to go through with doing some estate planning? Like, did somebody have something wild that they wanted to protect, but thank goodness they did?
Well, here's the craziest thing, and really it's the impetus why I wrote my book. Several years ago, I had a client who did her estate plan, and she had a relative come out of nowhere and decide to rewrite her estate plan for her. She got really upset at her brother for taking her attorney to do that, so she went back to the attorney, undid everything he did, and then in the process of that, the attorney never questioned her capacity. So obviously she was competent at the time when she redid her estate plan for the second time to undo what the brother did. Then at a later point down the road, several people began to question her capacity because she was at the very beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have a legal capacity to be able to create a trust or a will, especially here in California. But Adult Protective
Wow.
Services got wind of the fact that she was wanting to change her estate plan, and the thing that really got me was that there was a particular individual, a private fiduciary, who got wind of this and found out about her and petitioned the court to be made her conservator. And because she didn't have any family members around her to protect her or to protest that, he ended up becoming her conservator. And it was really unfortunate because the woman really wasn't incapacitated. She could understand you. She could make her legal decisions. She could decide when and where she wanted to sit or go. She could write her own checks. But this fiduciary managed to become her conservator, and as a result, he took over the entire estate, drained most of it, and redid her estate plan. And when I realized that's what happened, I became so angered because the point of estate planning is to protect you from that. But the other thing is, Kate, this could happen to you or me.
Right.
So knowing
wow.
that, it became my passion to get the word out to people that estate planning is so much more than just creating a simple will or a trust because you want your things to go to your kids. We want a good estate plan, a bulletproof estate plan, to protect you so you can keep making your own decisions during your lifetime. That's why I wrote the book.
Well, it's interesting, and you have such a breath of experience, a fresh breath, that's what I'm saying, somebody different talking about this. And you have a background that also includes the fact that you were a JAG officer besides that, so you also have the military twist to it as well. So you've made some really interesting leaps in your career, huh?
That's correct, yes. Many, many, many years ago, I decided to join the Army Reserves, and I initially started out in psychological operations, but I ended up in the JAG Corps after I went to law school. The last 7 years of my Army career, my 23 career, was in the JAG Corps, so I retired as a lieutenant colonel in the JAG Corps in the Army Reserves. And really what that has done for me is to instill in me honesty, loyalty, integrity. You know, when I have a client come into my office, it's not about making money. It's about, if that were me, what would I want to have done to protect that person? Which is why I'm so passionate, because that could be my mom or my dad in front of me. So when people come into my office, I don't nickel and dime them with billable hours, which a lot of attorneys do. It's a flat fee to come in and get your estate planning done, because after all, that's how I want to be treated. Right.
Yeah, well, I love that. Yeah, the golden rule. Because, of course, you know, there's this, how many lawyer jokes are there? You know them, Elaine, right?
Oh, my God. I know. We're the brunt of it all.
You are the brunt of it all. You're right. So we want to make sure we tell everyone you can get this on Amazon.com. And, again, we're speaking with Elaine Andrews, 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof. That's a joke. Estate planning, excuses that might just cost you everything. And that's what's so scary, to think of what that could cost you. And I'm sure, I mean, that's what happens. It's like you told us the story. You have somebody, they come in and they're just distraught. They can't believe what's happening. And the law is the law. And, you know, there's not a lot of gray area, and you got to find it. And it can get tricky, right?
Right. And there's one more very important point that I talk about in the book, Kate, that you don't really get from the cover. But
sure,
a very important thing that people need to know also when they are considering estate planning is, unlike doctors, there are different types of lawyers. There are lawyers, obviously, who specialize in different fields of law, like immigration versus personal injury versus estate planning, but there's also different degrees of lawyers. So, for example, when you go to the doctor and you need neurosurgery, you know that your doctor has gone to special education to be able to be qualified as a neurosurgeon. That's not necessarily true for attorneys. Here in California, you can say that you practice estate planning, and you really don't know what you're doing. In fact, the state bar doesn't require that you become a certified specialist in estate planning before you are treating a client or you are dealing with a client. All the state bar requires is that you either bone up with another attorney who does know what they're doing, or you learn how to do it prior to meeting that client. And to me, that's really shocking, because most lay people don't understand that their attorney may not really know what they're doing. So to help them, the state bar has certified specialists in different areas of law, and estate planning is one of them, mm-hmm. where an attorney not only takes the bar exam to become an attorney, but they take a second bar exam to become vetted, to become certified in this particular area of law. And so the important distinction is that individuals who are looking to get estate planning done, you want to look for somebody who is a certified specialist or a vetted expert in that area of law. And the reason for that is not because it's going to cost you more money, and it may well do, but because you want to make sure that your attorney knows what they're doing.
Mm.
A lot of
times.
I've helped other clients come in where they had work done from somebody else, maybe a friend who does a different line of work, like a corporate attorney or whatever, who doesn't specialize in their area, and I'm fixing the mistakes.
Yes.
But the person doesn't know that their estate plan is faulty. And
right.
When you
made
need your
mistakes.
Estate plan to work for you, that's too late to find out it's not working.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning, Excuses That Might Just Cost You Everything. Elaine Andrews, thank you so much.
And you're very welcome, Kate.
Ever
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
We take you to New Zealand right now for a conversation with Leanne Rattray. She's written a book. She's pulled a lot of her thoughts and poetry, and it's really good, called Who the Fork is Alice. The title alone is worth the price of admission, and for good reason, because of some of the things that she told me off the air. So, Leanne, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, hey, darling. It's nice to be here.
What was it that drew you to poetry? I mean, you've been at poetry slams in Auckland and all kinds of things. I mean, people look to you for that, I think.
Well, they call me Auckland's poetry princess, and I quit my job when I turned 50, when I wrote my book. I was I'm into anthropology and I'm an accountant and I worked at the Museum and Art Gallery. I quit my job to move to Auckland to be a freelance poet. So that's a story.
And so how's that? What's that been like?
Ah, well, like an adventure. I mean, the whole thing is like, who the fork is Alice? Go ask Alice. Alice could be anybody. She's curious. She wants to go down that rabbit hole. She wants to meet the Mad Hatter. She wants to sit at the table with the rabbit and eat strange foods and get big and small and, like, you know, like it's all about adventure. It's about taking that risk in life and having an imagination and being passionate about what you believe in and caring about people and caring about the world.
Oh, I love that. Caring about people and caring about the world. So for you, it's an adventure and it's fun and you're gifted, and it's got to be really wild to be inside your head and think of all the ways that you're inspired. And you're inspired by different things, right?
Yes, yes, I'm inspired by, like, I went to Australia and I went to, you know, climate. I've always been an environmentalist, so greeny, totally greeny, recycle everything. And I love animals and want to save the world, save the planet. I believe in aliens. Like, my son is studying anthropology and I worked in a museum. I think that as people, we need to get back to our hearts and our imaginations and care more about each other.
Yeah. Do you think poetry does that? That connects us?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think, like, you know, I call myself a verbologist. Like, you know, I was one of these kids that used to, like, be in bed with my torch reading a book when I was supposed to be asleep. And imagination rife. Like the first poem in my book is all about, it's called Visitations of a Child, because I think we all need to discover that child within us. That's what keeps us moving forward even as we grow older, is if we have that inner child and that imagination. Yeah, so.
What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry? And this book, Who the Fork is Alice, which with Leanne Rattray, we're speaking with her, you can get it on Amazon.
To have belief, self-belief, and try to be the best possible person you can be. And be yourself. Be unique. My DNA belongs to me. Your DNA belongs to you. We all come from the same DNA at the end of the day. Like, but we have to, like, believe in each other. Otherwise, what's the point in the world? There's too much war. There's too much, I mean, COVID, for God's sake, you know? I wrote a poem about Donald Trump. It's a really short one.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Here she is, all the way from New Zealand. As people are listening across the globe and here in the United States. And, of course, with Donald Trump, he has fans and he has those who are not his fans. He's polarizing.
This is really short. This is really short. It's called The Grim Reaper. Empty buses trundling by. I watch from a balcony and sigh. Empty shops, empty roads. Eerily apocalyptic, a war zone. No bombs dropping from the sky. 'Tis a silent creeper, this grim reaper, wearing the mask of a clown. A tissue, a tissue. We all fall down.
Oh, what a sense of humor, too. To wickedly weave that into your poem. You wrote another one that I thought was really good that you did for me before we came on the air, Made in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I think people would like that, too, as well, because you said you're a verbologist, which I love that word that you coined. You made up a great word. And Made in Japan makes you think of a lot of different things.
Right, yeah, just because I'm one of these old-fashioned people. I actually write in a book or
exactly.
On pieces of paper. Oh, here we go. And it's made, as in M-A-I-D. So it's like a cross-play. Made in Japan. She is a number. She does a number. She wants a number. She wants your number. She drifts endlessly, lost in a pirouette, private ballerina, toes spinning, arms poised, perfect precision, dancing diva, mermaid, lost in another realm, tall tales told, souls traded for stamps. Searching for feet to walk
on fresh sand. Bare feet on black sand. Toes curl as fronds unfurl above. Sweet basil scents invoke the senses. And ready for love. Black bows on ankles. Fishnets cast wide. Straight line from earth to universe. No more black and white. Shooting stars, Venus and Mars. Surreptitiously seeking sublime oblivion. Slipping, stripping bare, drawn to the rim of the rabbit hole. Free falling. Jerseys unravel. Cross stitches, white witches travel on brooms above. Sprinkling dust for love. Black roses bloom, really, like my black heart. Broken promises. Perfect geisha. Made in Japan.
Wow, nice. Those words are so, so interesting. And since I've seen geishas, I can picture what you've done there and how you've gone back and forth, which is so interesting the way you weave your words. What do your mates say? What do your friends say about your poems?
Well, people come up and ask me to do, I do poetry every week. That's why I moved from Gisborne. I'm a Gizzy girl. And I had a house down there, and I moved from there, and I rented my house out, and I've just sold it, and I bought an apartment in Auckland. I moved to Auckland because Auckland is the poetry hub. And, like, you know, there are so many amazing Kiwi poets and comedians. And so I started coming to Poetry Live, which has been going for 40 years. And I go there every Tuesday night, and they have a guest poet, and they have a guest musician, and they have open mic. And that is what has fostered my complete love of poetry even further. You know, it's like open mic, getting up on stage. I love to perform. You know, I love getting dressed up. I put my hat on. You know, it's like the cat in the hat.
and you do your poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want people to take away from my poetry an understanding of who they are or their emotions or what's going on in the world, but in an entertaining way. I want to make people think. But I also want to, I don't want to be boring. My poems are mostly short, like I write like a lot of short poems. My book, you know, it's like little short poems all strung together to tell a little story that maybe you might get something out of, you know, about love, about, I've got a poem in there, it's called Dumb Seduction, it's about online dating. You know, you write poems about all sorts, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's why this is such a unique book, and you're such a unique character and wonderful person that is giving, giving, giving. And you can tell that just by reading even just a few lines of your poems and then hearing you recite them. Leanne Rattray, what a delight to meet you in New Zealand. You are a gift to New Zealand and the world. And Who the Fork Is Alice is the name of it.
Is
the name of it. And you get it on Amazon. So thanks for joining us. And thanks to all of you. Thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.